Oh, look at that. Guess we're live. What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here with Cheesehead TV, coming to you live with Packers Daily. It's Wednesday. The Packers will be back on the practice field later this afternoon, early morning, probably. We hear from Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers. We'll speak with reporters later today. So lots of fun stuff to talk about and pick over and create content around. But first, and always first, it's you guys. It's Packers Daily, talking to Packers fans worldwide here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Good to see everybody in the comments section. Gary, good morning. Evan, hello. Matthew. Julia's here. What's up, Julia? Aaron, hi. How are you? Atlanta, what's up, Atlanta? New York City here. Joey the Jaguar is here, of course, carrying the G for Big B, who has school. Teach the children well. Brandy is here. Good morning, Brandy. Good to see everybody. Nagler, what's up, Robert? How are you? I am Chester Markle. Well, I hope in a certain way, not in other ways, but how's your morning, Nags? Eduardo? It's all right. Can't complain. It's a lovely overcast day here in New York City. Any day where it's not blazing hot with sun is a good day in my book. Coffee time with Aaron. Yeah, something like that. Hi, Aaron. Hi, Aaron. Aaron. Doctor. What's happening, Joel? Not a whole lot yet, but it'll be picking up throughout the day. Packers will be practicing. Three practices left prior to the cut down to 53 on Saturday afternoon. The Packers have to be down to 53 men on the initial roster at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central Saturday afternoon. A 16-man practice squad will then be developed and or selected over the course of the following 24 hours and finalized late Sunday, early Monday. Do we need further proof that Kirk Cousins is a loser? Man, you know, I don't want to get too political here, but his thoughts on COVID-19 and wearing a mask or not wearing it, as the case may be with Kurt, were disappointing to say the least. And I don't say that in the sense of, you know, he's a role model or whatever. I mean, I think at this point we're all so divided as a country, like whatever some NFL quarterback says is going to be a blip on the radar. But it's disappointing for a guy who does have a big platform, who is going to be reaching a lot of people with his comments, for him to be so flippant about it and so dismissive is really disappointing. She said TV is the GOAT. Thank you, Benny. Ken, how you doing, man? Great job on the salary cap breakdown and trying to placate those Saints fans in your mentions yesterday. That was fun. What are the rules regarding veterans on the practice squad this year? Tom, I'm glad you asked. Ken is here. I would point you to Ken's Twitter feed from yesterday. Actually, I'll throw it up here in the comments so you guys can see Ken's handle. You can get a good hand because I could go into it. I would sound ridiculous, though, because there are a billion new kind of rules and regulations. There's Ken's handle. Follow him on Twitter. Around the practice squad. For me, the most notable thing is this year, regular quote unquote veterans can be on a practice squad. It's kind of crazy, actually. They have a number of different designations that you have to kind of fit into, but that's to me the most interesting development. You know, obviously there have been a lot of changes throughout the years. It's 16 total players. 6 can have unlimited accrued season. So there's 6 slots of guys who could be in the league for however long, and they can still go on a practice squad. 4 can have up to 2 accrued seasons, and the rest must have 0 accrued season or 1 accrued season with 8 or less active games. Hey, doesn't that sound fun? It's hardcore minutia. Like I said, hit up Ken's Twitter feed for more information. But I think it's a welcome development, and I hope it's something that the PA pushes to keep, maybe not fully permanent, but as close to that as possible going forward, because it, you know, it serves teams well to be able to hold on to guys and develop talent, et cetera. And, you know, they're still going to have to go through waivers. So teams will still have the opportunity to, you know, pluck guys if they want to. But I just think it makes a ton of sense this year, given the potential for a COVID outbreak, the need for bodies, et cetera. But I also think it's smart from a team building standpoint, and it will, in the long term, if it's adopted, reward smart teams that know how to develop their own talent. So that's me. Who would your surprise veteran cut be? I get asked this all the time, and if it was a surprise, then I wouldn't know, would I? I don't think it'll happen, but if I had to guess or if I had to pick something that would probably shock a lot of people, Lane Taylor would be a surprise cut after taking his pay cut and balling out in camp. If he got cut, I think that would be a big surprise. There you go. William, thank you for the super chat. Can you explain the John Madden QB quote? P.S. I love the love pick, but my brother doesn't. Thanks, Nags. Yeah, it's one of my all-time favorites. And I don't know. I think he got that from someone else. I just know he's the one who made it popular, at least in my generation. He used to talk about it all the time in regards to, while calling games, the need to find a quarterback. You've seen teams throughout history of the league when they are riding high and they have a franchise quarterback. Maybe they select quarterbacks later in the draft. Maybe they sign them in free agency as older veterans to back up their superstar. But very rarely are they thinking ahead the way the Packers have with the Jordan Love pick. Aaron Rodgers is still a very good quarterback. Maybe not the superstar he used to be, but still one of the better quarterbacks in the league. They certainly can compete for championships with Aaron at quarterback. Now, a lot of teams would do what most of the punditry class and a lot of the fans wanted the Packers to do this offseason, especially in the draft, is select a wide receiver, get help for your quarterback. The Packers took the opportunity, seeing as where they were, the draft capital they had, and the prospect that they liked in Jordan Love, to try to plan for the future. And it's always better to get that quarterback when you don't need him and have him be able to learn, to sit, to absorb, prior to being thrown into the fire. Now, that's not always the case. Nothing is 100% in the NFL, but more often than not, it does help. And you flip it, and the quote, you know, has always been, the worst time to look for a quarterback is when you need one. Look across the landscape of the NFL throughout the last 30 years. Look at the teams who maybe did have a great quarterback at one point, say maybe the Denver Broncos or the Miami Dolphins, who have then spent decades in the wilderness of trying to find a quarterback. The best time to look is when you don't need it. And that's as simple as I can put it. Green Bay turned out some decent quarterbacks who backed up Favre. Absolutely, because Ron Wolf made a priority to continually draft and develop at that position, whether it was Matt Hasselbeck, whether it was Mark Brunell, whether it's even Aaron Brooks, had a damn fine couple seasons down there in New Orleans with Mike McCarthy. So, yeah, absolutely. I think I was always kind of bewildered that Ted didn't do more in that regard. I mean, obviously, he picked Brian Brohm and Matt Flynn and then Brett Hundley. But outside of that, Love Cheesehead TV, thanks, Planet VHS Horror. Thanks for the super chat. My question is, do you envision the Packers using and keeping Lovett as a fullback / jack of all trades? I got to tell you, man, I was going through the 53-man roster cut down thing this morning on my own, and I have a hard time seeing him making it onto the squad. I think he's got practice squad written all over him. And then that's dependent on him making it through waivers, obviously. But I just don't see how they justify keeping him if they do, as I suspect they will, keep all four of those tight ends. And then they'll have four running backs, most likely. And then five wide receivers. And then you just get down to a point where how do you justify keeping him over maybe another edge rusher or another corner? I just can't see it. That's not to say I don't love the kid, because I do. Everything I've seen, I've really liked. But I just think he's destined for the practice squad at this point. There's been a lot of talk about how sharp Rodgers has looked in practice. Is this relative to the past couple years or more so the beginning of camp? A bit of both, Dakota, I would say. To me, and I'm going to ask Aaron about this later today, to me, the biggest difference that I've noticed is his play in rhythm from the moment everyone started saying, oh, he looks a lot sharper. This year, it's been very much get the top of the drop, find your read and rip it, rather than get the top of the drop, bounce around, maybe escape the pocket, etc. Been a lot less of that. A really apparent willingness to strike over the middle of the field, which, as you guys, if anyone who's followed me for any length of time knows, that's been something that Aaron has been reticent to do in recent years. And that has looked very different. So I'm going to ask him about that specifically, if that has been a focal point or a focus for him this summer. Dustin, thanks for the super chat. Damn, Darnold need to develop shows why he took Love. Sam Darnold. Got it. Damn, Darnold. I was very confused. I think Darnold's got all the tools, and I think he can throw anything you ask him to, and I think he could be a very good player. But I agree, the Jets have done a god-awful job of surrounding him with anything. You know, forget weapons, even an offensive line. So, yeah, he's in a world of hurt out here in New York. There is zero question there. And is he a poster child for needing to sit? Maybe, maybe not. But it's hard to say when he hasn't been given much to work with.
Is this the GoFundMe for Olive's going to get a dog?
You guys are the best. So I asked about Josh Jackson yesterday. Never heard anything. How's he doing? He's doing good. I think he's had a strong camp. I think he has tapered off a little bit from his strong start, but I still think he looks worlds better than he has in years previous. And I know I feel like I'm kind of out on an island on that opinion, but I'm fine with it. Nags, Bears offense struggled after the first year. There was tape. How did the Packers stay ahead of the opposing defenses and play their game? Now, Brandy, there was tape, but there was also Nagy continually abandoning the run. I mean, they drafted David Montgomery, one of the best rushers in that class, and then didn't utilize him. I think he was obviously hamstrung a little bit by Trubisky. That's the obvious X factor as far as, you know, if you want to compare. They've got Aaron Rodgers, who can get up to the line of scrimmage and get him out of something bad and into something better, whereas Trubisky's completely beholden to whatever's being called on the sidelines. But there's no – don't make any mistake. They will be evolving, and they are going to get, I think, a lot more multiple this year as far as utilizing their personnel in a lot of different ways, trying to keep defensive coordinators on their toes so they don't they aren't able to tee off on, okay, we know they love running this call out of this personnel group formation, et cetera. I think you're just going to see an expansion of that, a little bit less of the spread stuff that we saw last year. Sign snacks, John. Unfortunately, I think that ship has sailed. I'd welcome it. I'd welcome it with open arms. I would love it. I would do a cartwheel, but doesn't seem to be happening anytime soon. Maybe after week one. Who knows? But yeah, I don't know. Devontae going to eat week one. I'm really interested to see how the Vikings play him. I mean, you know, back in the day, last year and then many years previous, it was always Xavier Rhodes and Devontae Adams. But yeah, now I'm very interested to see how they line up and how they try to protect some of those young corners. All that time watching practice at Nashwabanon and no breakdown of Hunter Bradley spinning it. I saw him spin it into the net several times and then also several times to the holder in teamwork. There you go. There's my breakdown. Do we have enough girth next to Kenny on the defensive line to stop great run teams? We'll find out. I mean, I don't think this team is about girth. It's about explosion and or disruption. That's what they're counting on anyway. And I think that's where Kingsley Keke and Trayvon Hester step up and step in and have to make a difference. If you're looking for a wall like the 96 team, say, with Gilbert Brown and Santana Dotson, I think you're looking in the wrong spot. That ain't what this defense is going to be about. Big Cheese, thanks for the super chat. Missed my super chat earlier. Oh, no! Big Cheese. Calling, looking for a Big Cheese. Planet VHR. There he is. I'm loving all the analysts out here being skeptical about the Packers. I love it when we can give fuel to this team. Yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers has 100 times over echo those sentiments. He loves it when they fly under the radar. I think most fans are probably like that. I think we enjoy being the underdog and being able to say, I told you so. At least those of us who actually fan and not the fan analysts who are like, oh, here's all the flaws in this team and they certainly can't win a Super Bowl and blah, 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 blah. Like, yo, why are you even a fan if that's what you're going to be like? I'm all for realism. But man, some of these Twitter feeds that come into my mentions with their breakdowns or whatever, and it's like you would think the Packers are like a 4-12 team. So I'm with you, man. I love all the disrespect. You see the Smiths are yet again slighted by CBS Sports. Bring it on. Fuel for the fire. Dustin, thank you for the super chat. It's not about girth. It's about how you use the girth that Goody gave you. There's so many inappropriate responses to that, Dustin, but I'm going to keep it with, yeah, I agree. Sean, is the MVS hype real? I don't want to get too excited like last year. I mean, I don't know if you saw my chat with Andy Herman, but that's pretty much exactly what he said. You know, it's, and Andy and I watched all the practices and we've seen it. And I'm excited about it, but yeah, I'm with you, man. It's hard to get too hyped about it because we saw Darius Shepherd last year look great in camp and then completely fall apart in the regular season. So, and I'm not going to say that that's what's going to happen with MVS, but it's real so far. I just hope no one clicks their heels and goes home or wakes up with a glass slipper or whatever metaphor you need. Planet, thanks for the super chat. What Packers loss hurt you the most? Man, why do you want me up here crying in the club on a Wednesday morning? What Packers loss hurt me most? You know what? This is true. I've got to say the 1999 loss to the Carolina Panthers when Steve Beuerlein ran in on a quarterback draw after Ray Rhodes, for whatever reason, inexplicably, refused to use his timeouts to save time on the clock for Brett Favre to have one last shot. After that game, I was literally living with my bandmate at the time. I turned around, went into the room where the piano was, and wrote a song about it. That's how much it hurt. So, yeah, that's probably the worst one. I mean, obviously losing the Super Bowl sucked. Seattle in 2014 was the worst. NFC Championship game in Lambeau where Favre threw to the one guy who was covered. All those hurt. But nothing quite hurt like Steve Beuerlein on a fucking quarterback draw, I'll tell you that. Walter, thanks for the super chat. Is the story in the running back market impacting AJ talks? Walter, you have to think it is. No question about it. AJ and the Packers will both be looking at what's going on the market. I can't imagine the Packers would dole out what the Bengals gave to AJ Mixon. It'll be very interesting to see if they do end up extending Aaron, where he falls on that hierarchy. You know, the Derrick Henry Mixon area, I can't imagine he'd settle for the Ecker area. So it's got to be around there, though, because they can't be given a running back $12 million per. That cannot happen. Now, maybe they can structure it in a way kind of like Kenny Clark's deal where, you know, the cap hits are really negligible the first couple of seasons and then they explode the last two or something along those lines. But, man, yeah, you get even at 10, I get a little worried, but we'll see. But there's zero question. Both sides are looking and monitoring all of those deals. Benji, thanks for the super chat. If we're going to be a better team with a worse record this year, does that look good or bad on coach? Well, it depends on how they're playing, right? I mean, you can't account for, you know, the bounce of a football here, you know, a fluke play there, which often in the NFL can lead to a win or a loss. Not always, but sometimes, you know, and it's really about when they're playing, how they're playing, who they're playing, and are they gelling? Are they hitting their stride at the right time? Are they, you know, inconsistent? Are they seemingly coming together in a tough squad, a team that no one wants to play in the playoffs? I mean, there's so many different ways it can go, it's impossible to say, yeah, they could be a better team with a worse record and look like dog crap doing it. And then you're like, wait a second, what's going on here? You know, maybe he has a Matt Nagy fall back to earth kind of season. I tend to doubt it, but it's a possibility. Or maybe they look really good, yet, you know, a couple of plays here and there, they play a couple good teams that drive the record down. And, you know, I don't think that's a knock on coach. So, it's definitely one you got to let play out. I have a hard time imagining that it's going to be anything but a positive step forward from the floor, given what we've seen so far this summer. But stranger things have certainly happened. Ray Rhodes forgot about him. Oh, no. Big B, I am in my school's bathroom. Jamal Williams is the GOAT. The GOAT. Have a good day, boys. Big B is here, breaking the law, breaking the rules. What is up? Got that one. Brian, thanks for the super chat. Packer fans need to be excited about Love. If you don't get a legitimate QB early, you become the Chicago Bears. He's going to flourish in Green Bay. I could not agree more. This is one of the things I talked about on PFF Forecast with Eric and George. I mean, the Packers are in the best possible space when it comes to the quarterback room. The veteran who can help you win a championship, the backup who looks like he's really hitting his stride second year in the offense, and then the young pup, rookie, who's going to learn, sit, be in street clothes most of the time, and just absorb it all, getting ready for year two. It's the best of all worlds, and only Packers fans would be upset about that. Well, maybe a few other fan bases, but you know what I mean. Aaron, Nags, this topic has been neglected. BJ Raji, you. Dustin, thanks for the super chat. You guys are crazy about BJ Raji. Big B's here. Wait, I gotta make sure I get Weston. Thanks for the super chat. Do you see our offense have more wrinkles, fast tempo? I do, and I do. I actually asked Matt about the tempo slash up tempo thing at his last availability, and he said that is something they're going to look to expand and or install here in this next week. Yeah, I think that's definitely something they can utilize that they really didn't very much of the year last season. So I definitely think you'll see not only more wrinkles, but certainly the use of hurry up a lot more. Maybe not a lot more, but a bit more. Riley, thanks for the super chat. Which Packer is in most need of a nickname? Man, I don't know. Lucas Patrick. There, give Lucas Patrick a nickname. Thoughts on Bakhtiari contract number? A lot. That's all I can give you. I didn't see what the Lions gave Decker. I got to imagine it's more than that. It's about all I got for you. He's going to get paid if he does indeed get paid. And if he doesn't, he's probably going to get franchise tag. Whatever. It's going to be that's what it's going to be. All right, guys. I got to get going. Can't thank you enough for all the super chats, for hanging with me, talking Packers. Keep it here. Hit like on the video. Hit subscribe on the channel. And if you're so inclined, please consider giving us $5 a month on our Patreon page, patreon.com/cheeseheadTV. It's really supportive of everything we do. But if you can't, totally understand. Speaking of Patreon, though, Patreon members, happy hour, our weekly happy hour on Zoom is tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Eastern. So make sure you're there for that. The rest of you, hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.